I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. I'm as good as new. Oh, hallelujah. I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, y'all sing. It's worship the Lord. I'm clean. I'm clean. And sin was stained on me. And shame was running deep. But love was spilled on Calvary. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. God, how can it be? I'm ransomed and redeemed. And standing in your victory. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. I'm as good as new. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. All because of you. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. It's not what I have done, but what you've done for me. You paid it all upon the tree. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. Love has overcome. Your mercy is supreme. Good as new. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, I'm as good as new. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah.
Cause you took
away my shame. And you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Hallelujah, here I come. Cause you took away my shame. And you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. And hallelujah, here I come. Cause you took away.
Cause you took away my shame. And you nailed it to the cross.
This is your invitation, church, to worship and praise the God who paid it all. You are free, no longer bound. Let's praise him this morning. Welcome to church. Hope you guys are here to worship and learn. We're going to sing one more chorus. I've been washed. Let's sing it together.
I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. I'm as good as new. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise him this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Yes, we have been washed clean. Clean from our sin, from our shame, from our everything that we have. We can thank God for giving his life for us.
To the wind, 'cause I am not ashamed to I call you Jesus. I God is powerful. He is personal. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and he is our Father. And if he's our Father, then we as his children are the sons and daughters of the King. That means we are deeply loved, fully known, and securely held in his care. We are not orphans trying to find our way through life alone. We belong to him. We've been welcomed into his family, covered by his love, and given full access to his presence. And in him we find peace for our worries, strength for our weakness, mercy for our failures, and grace that is all sufficient. He is for us, even in seasons where we may feel lost, when the struggles of life seem insurmountable, or when nothing seems to be going in our favor. And in his word, Jesus reminds us of this so beautifully when he talks about the lilies of the field. He says they don't strive or toil, yet our heavenly Father clothes them with beauty and splendor. And if God cares that deeply for the flowers of the field, how much more does he care for his children? How much more will he provide love, cover, and sustain the sons and daughters that he calls his own? So today, we can rejoice in this truth. We are not forgotten, we are not abandoned, and we are not without. We have a Father who sees us, knows us, and loves us completely. And when we truly have him, we realize we don't need to chase after everything else. As Psalm 73:25 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." Let's continue in worship.
I've never been more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I've never been more loved than I am right now. An ocean, so I wouldn't drown.
You've never been closer than you are right now. 'Cause you are Jireh.
Come on,
you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every
I know what you're spoken.
Honey, come on.
You chose to grace the world that you so loved. The heads that turn the universe surrender to the cross. Despite the sin that separated us, you took the fall once and for all. Salvation's in your blood.
I walked into a small classroom, and on both sides were lined whiteboards. And at the bottom of them were trays filled with colorful markers. And at the end of the classroom was a projection screen for presentations. And there were tables positioned in a U in the center of the room. And behind those tables, five of my professors sat. And this oral exam was the culmination of about a week of testing, months of studying, and years of preparation. And this wasn't a typical test over that which I've been taught, but it was about extensions beyond that, more complicated applications of the knowledge that I hadn't seen before, that I hadn't been taught. This test was designed to answer a question. What had I done with the knowledge that they'd given me? What understanding had I acquired? Not just what facts and equations I might have memorized. The questions continued for the better part of 2 hours, after which one of the sides, whiteboards, was completely filled with equations and responses to questions over varying subjects. The test was over when one of my professors was looking and examining one of the equations I had written, and he asked a simple question. It was a question I knew the answer to. It'd be the equivalent of asking a high schooler, what's 5 times 5? Very simple. But in the moment, my brain froze. I stared at the equation that I had written on the board, hoping for a moment of clarity that never came. So after what felt like an eternity of silence, I just simply said, I don't know. At this point, I knew, and they knew as well, that the test was done. So shortly after this, they dismissed me from the room so they could deliberate and determine my fate. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mason Pollock. I'm one of the elders here at CAMCC. And this morning, I'm going to be continuing in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, following on where Jacob left us off this last week. We're on the home stretch. We're coming in to finish 2 Timothy. I think next week we're going to be finishing it. And Paul is giving Timothy his final charge to him, his final appeal. Last week, Jacob delivered this message on the end of chapter 3, which kind of sets the foundation for what we're going to be talking about here. And so we kind of need to review this. If you remember from last week, or even if you don't remember from last week, the big idea was faithful believers show us the way. And God's word keeps us on the way. Now, Paul was reminding Timothy that he had followed his teachings, his conduct, his aim in faith, patience, love, steadfastness, and his persecutions and sufferings. See, Paul is saying to him that he had taught him not only directly, not only with the words that he communicated, but with his entire life. And he taught him the persecutions, the worldly consequences of doing that thing to him. He reminds him after that of the knowledge that he grew up in, that he had been given through the word of God. And he says in verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, and correction, training in righteousness so the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. Right? He's reminding Timothy that the word of God, the scripture, is what will sustain him in all of these areas to accomplish God's will and purpose in every good work. So in light of that, in setting up that context, we're going to look at chapter 4. And Paul has reminded Timothy of the example he's seen in him. The knowledge he's been taught, the truth, the word, and he can rest on the fact that the word will equip him for every good work that's coming. So we're going to be asking a question today, and that is, what is the charge for us with the grace and knowledge that we've been given? And for this, we're going to turn into 2 Timothy chapter 4, so entering the last chapter of 2 Timothy. And we'll start with verses 1 and 2. And the first thing we're going to see is that Paul is charging Timothy to proclaim and teach with purpose. So as we pick up in verse 1 in chapter 4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. It says, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. Some manuscripts start off with therefore at the beginning. So in light of all the things we just told you about scripture being God-breathed, in light of everything that you knew growing up, now I'm gonna charge you in the presence of God, who is the judge of the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom. So he's saying that, look, you're in front of this judge, this God. He is the one that will judge all, living and the dead, and his authority is established through the resurrection. So he's establishing his authority and his appearance through Christ's appearance. And then he tells him to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season, to be bold, to proclaim the truth and not to shy away from the call. And he tells him to do it all of the time, right? In season and out of season. Not merely when it's convenient, but when it's inconvenient, not just in night, also in day, in danger and safety, in prison, when he's free, not only in church, but everywhere and on all occasions. Whenever and wherever the Lord requires it from us. And this should be convicting to all of us. I know it is to me, right? Because it's a call to a way of life. It's not just a call of doing something, showing up on Sunday. It's a call to how we live every day. Everything that we do at home, at work, with friends, on the golf course, at the gym, at the salon, even when we don't feel like it. Not many of us around here are persecuted for our faith or imprisoned for our faith, but even in that, Paul is calling us to proclaim the gospel. In 1 Peter, Paul says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. In 1 Peter, he's saying similarly to us, he's talking about when it was difficult in life and the circumstances were hard, we're called to be prepared at any time to proclaim the gospel, to defend the reason for the hope that we have in all circumstances. And then he says reprove, rebuke. Back to 2 Timothy in the second verse, he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Paul just set this up in the last time, right? So he just told us the scripture, which is God-breathed, equips us for all good works. By having scripture, we have the necessary tool that we need that will equip us for the call that he makes. We're to correct, we're to call out wrongdoing, we're to encourage good things, and do this in patience. And this is exactly what Paul just described that he did in his life. Then he says the scripture has equipped you to do it. And now in chapter 4, he's charging Timothy to do it too. You see, the trainee now becomes the trainer. The mentee becomes the mentor. The disciple becomes the discipler, right? So you can see this growth. And this is exactly what Christ did with the apostles when he brought them in to teach them, to train them to go out to preach the gospel. For those parents in the room, do we have any parents in the room? Couple? Okay, yeah. This looks a lot like the call to parenting, to teach and train your children. Ephesians, it says to bring them up in discipline and instruction in the Lord, right? Correcting them. In Proverbs, it talks about training up a child in the ways of the Lord so that when he gets older, he won't stray from it or depart from it. Today, we're celebrating Father's Day. Yay, all the fathers. I'm a father. All the fathers, yes, okay. So I want to encourage you today. I don't know if you were like me. When I had my first child, I can tell you that I have never felt as ill-equipped for a task as when I had my first child, as when I took her in the car seat and placed her in the back seat and was about to drive away from the hospital. I still remember panic, right? It overtook me where you're like, First of all, you're letting me leave with this. Like, I have no idea what I have no idea what I'm doing. Right. And so I completely ill-equipped, right? I don't have all the answers in parenting, for sure. And I can't tell you how to deal with every circumstance. But I can tell you what does. And I can tell you what does have the answers. And it's this. The Bible. The Word of God. And Paul just told us, it equips us for all good works that we can do. So do we value that? Do we value the Bible? Do we actually hold the Bible up above everything? Do we place ourselves underneath it? Do we care more about comfort, or do we care more about character? Do we care about others' needs, or do we care about our own? Do we care about humility or pride? Understanding over being right? Character over beauty? Integrity over athletic ability? I'll tell you, I am most proud of my children when I hear about how one of them once has been kind to somebody that's been left out. How they put someone else's wants or needs above their own. How they've helped somebody in need, or how they've done the right thing in a difficult circumstance. Celebrating what is good, what God has called us according to his purposes. Paul has the same reaction here to Timothy, right? He starts commenting to Timothy, encouraging him, and seeing how Timothy has been fulfilling his mission, affirming him, encouraging him in the good work that he's doing. So grounded in the Bible, we're called to something similar, to carry out this mission, to proclaim and teach the gospel like Timothy in all circumstances. For you, this might be encouraging a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, somebody in your small group, a younger Christian, a child, a sister, a brother, maybe a parent, some relationship that God has placed in your life and that's called you to. So what is the charge for us with the grace and knowledge we've been given? First, it's to proclaim and teach with purpose. And the second thing we're going to see is to persevere in truth. In verses 3 and 4, we're going to pick that back up in Timothy. It says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." How many teachers do we have here this morning? Have some teachers? All right. All the parents are teachers too, but more formally teachers. I really enjoy teaching. It's one thing I really enjoy, particularly math. One of the things I really enjoy is trying to make the complex receivable. Things that are unseen, and then all of a sudden, they're seen. And I really enjoy this moment of clarity that happens, where this complicated and confusing thing becomes clear in somebody's mind, and you can see it when it happens. But for this to happen, there has to be a couple things present, right? There has to be a recognition by the student that they don't know, right? If they think they know everything, they're not receiving anything, right? And secondly, there has to be a desire to understand. You have to want to understand. Here, Paul is warning of a time when people will not listen to sound teaching. They won't even listen, right? This sounds a lot like our political environment right now. Conversations going on these days. Not listening. They just shout back and forth, right? They just want to be heard. They don't want to listen. They don't want to understand, right? But they have itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. This idea of itching ears, that they are surrounding themselves with people that tell them the things they want to hear. And this way, they only hear what they want to hear. It's a sounding board. They're just getting back what they want, affirming the way that they want to live. Then he goes on and says, and it will turn away from listening to the truth. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. How do we avoid being deceived by lies? Right. We recognize in humility that we're still learning, still growing in truth and righteousness, and we have a desire to better know God. Right. So I'll tell you an example of this. As an elder board this past year, A little over a year ago, we all read through and studied Rediscovering Holiness by J.I. Packer. Okay? This book was about self-examination, right? Having a realistic recognition of our own state, of where we're at, and desiring to continue to grow, pursuing becoming more like Christ in every area of our lives. And by continuing to walk towards truth, encouraging each other, holding each other accountable, we can avoid being taken by the lies and the distortions of the truth that lead us to being deceived. Much like Jesus warned of the false prophets. And we can do this through a constant pursuit of holiness, wanting to conform ourselves to the likeness of God. Realistic recognition of our current state and not being happy with where we are, being dissatisfied with that current state, enough to motivate us to change. And we pursue wisdom and humility and obedience. In James it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." His good conduct, his obedience, and in the meekness and the humility of accepting that you are not where you want to be. So what is the charge for us with grace and knowledge that we've been given? To proclaim and teach the purpose first, and the second, to persevere in truth. And third is pursue endurance. Forgive the alliteration, I couldn't help myself. There's going to be one more. So in this, we're going to look in chapter 4, verse 5. "But as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." This is an idea that we're self-controlled in all things. We see things clearly for what they are. And when we have a clear view of why we're doing what we're doing, if we're doing right, we're okay to be persecuted for it. We can patiently bear it, this hardship, if we understand the reason of why we're doing what we're doing. And it's to fulfill the mission of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake has died and was raised." In other versions, it says Christ's love compels us. It pushes us forward to live for him. Focus not on ourselves, but on him. So our mind is not on things of this world or transient things, but on eternal things. You see, God cares more about our eternal state than our current state. And when we're eternally minded, he'll provide us a way to endure the pain and the suffering. Just like he promises to deliver us from temptation. No temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man, but God is faithful. And with that temptation, it will provide a way of an escape so that you may be able to endure it, right? He will guide our paths to an end that we can't see. And he will do this and reveal himself in his timing. We also know that we're refined through these tests and trials. They lead to perseverance and ultimately lead to godliness. So through these hardships, through these pains, we're being made more holy. We're being made more godly. So we've seen first, we proclaim and teach with purpose. That's our first charge. Our second charge is to preserve in truth. Third, pursue endurance. And fourth is persist to the finish. So in verses 6-8, let's turn there. "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all those who have loved his appearing." You know, he doesn't say he is the offering, by the way. So he says, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering at the time of my departure." He is not the offering. Who is the offering? Christ is the offering, yes. He's the drink offering. He's the oil that gets poured over the offering. He's a supplement to it. He's not the offering. He's not necessary to complete the perfection, right? He's minimizing his role, and he's giving the glory to God and through through Christ's resurrection is where the work has been done. In 7, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. You know, Paul looks through his past life and he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race, kept the faith. His current state is there's laid up for him the crown of righteousness. He says that in the current, in his current existence. This is a crown that is bestowed upon people that have done well. So going back to like the Greek games, he's won the race, he's won the wrestling match, they receive this crown, right? This is a context in which Paul talks about this. And then he looks to the future. The Lord will reward him with that crown and present it to him. And not only to him, but to all of those who have loved Jesus' appearing, right? And this is in contrast, I'm gonna leak a little bit into the next verses. Sorry, Jacob, not to steal your thunder next week, but this when he says, all those who have loved Jesus' appearing, this is in contrast to the next verse where he talks about Demas and how he has abandoned Paul's ministry. And the reason he's abandoned it is because he has loved the things of this world. He's not loved Christ's appearing. He's loved the things of this world. Because Paul loved the truth, studied the truth, he was compelled by that truth to preach the gospel and teach the gospel and to train somebody else in that truth. He endured hardship as he's currently doing, locked in prison, and persisted to the finish. You see, the test that I took, it wasn't about if I would fail. The question was when I would fail. It wasn't a test about that which I had been taught. It was about what I had done with the knowledge that had been given to me. What have we done with the grace and knowledge that God has given us? Are we loving the things of this world? Or do we love his appearing, his resurrection? This leads us to the big idea, which is grounded faith and humility provides a path to endure and finish the race strong. Grounded faith and humility provides a path to endure and finish the race strong. Grounded faith that's rooted in Scripture, pursuing knowledge. Humility, recognizing that we're falling short and we desire to grow more, to be more holy. We're compelled by our love for God and we understand his mission, we can endure because we know that he has a purpose and we can finish the race strong. About 20 years ago, always very humbling to say something that I remember with great clarity 20 years ago. Just means I'm old. We had an elder here at this church named Bill Smith. A faithful man, servant leader in the church. He was on the board. He was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer, which gave him a very short time to live. I didn't know Bill especially well. Just through some church interactions and activities that we had done together in the church. I was much younger at that time. Bill was in the hospital, and he called me and another young guy in the church to come beside him, come to his bedside. Like Paul, Bill knew that his time was coming to an end. It was nearing the end. And he felt as in this time, it was important to encourage those younger in their faith, less experienced in hardship and in the difficulties of life, to be bold in our faith, take on leadership roles in the church, and endure in faith to the end. The testimony of a man with limited time left holds a weight that's really hard to explain. It's easy to read what we just read in Timothy. And Paul's imprisoned. He knows he's gonna die. He sees the end of his ministry coming. But imagine how Timothy was reading this right? He's somebody that's learned from Paul. He's worked for the sake of Christ with Paul. He's endured with Paul. Paul's words are going to be taken to heart. You see, I'm sure Paul saw in Timothy things that Timothy didn't see in himself. He couldn't see the ends that Paul could see. It's often so much easier for us to see the potential in others, how God is working through them, and to be able to help guide and encourage them. We're going to see later in Timothy, there's not much left, but in the end, Paul is going to appeal to Timothy to come back to him, to be present with him in the end. You see, we aren't meant to walk this alone. This is why we talk about having family, deep relationships, and being involved in this church community, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to push each other towards godliness and righteousness. Maybe this morning you're thinking, what can I do with the grace and knowledge that I've been given? It doesn't have to be an enormous step or an unrealistic goal. Just one step closer to holiness. We won't reach completion of holiness this side of heaven anyway. Maybe it's just a recognition of where you are today, dissatisfied with your current state and wanting to grow deeper. I can tell you with certainty that God desires for you to grow in grace and knowledge of Him. He desires for you to proclaim and teach with purpose, to persevere in the truth, not be taken by lies, to endure hardship, knowing that He has a purpose and that we're fulfilling His purpose, and to persist to the end, to the finish, and receive a crown. You see, what Paul charged Timothy is God's charge for us today. The question isn't whether or not we'll fail. It's what have we done with the grace and knowledge that He's given us. If you'll bow and pray with me. Father, this morning we ask that You would reveal in our hearts where we fall short of Your perfect standard, Lord. Give us a strong desire to grow in holiness, and help us to little by little grow, become more holy. Focus on Your word. Meditate on Scripture, Lord. Serve with others for You. Use our lives for that. Help us to spur each other on, Lord, and encourage each other. And give us boldness at any moment to give the reason for the hope that we have in You, Lord. Sharing truth with others. Lord, some of us may be in a time of pain or suffering, maybe physical pain or sickness, or maybe it's emotional distress through a relationship that we have, Lord. Provide us strength to endure and hold fast to the faith in You, Lord. Help us to have an eternal perspective. Help us not to love the things of this world, Lord, but have our mind fixed on eternal things. May You be glorified in our church this morning. Amen.
Well, happy Father's Day to all you. So glad you can be with us and celebrate today. We're going to receive our offering. There's three ways to participate, as you can see on the screen. Whether it's the website, campcc.net, click give, the offering box in the lobby, or texting to give, as you can see there. And while you're thinking about that, I'll just let you know that's one of the ways we worship God. If you're a guest, we don't expect you to participate in that. And I just wanted to say that for Father's Day, as you leave today, we are cooking sausages. You can get a little toothpick and sample some sausages on the patio. And so we have some special drinks for you just past the fit tent at the edge of the patio. And then the other thing I wanted to say is I just want to say thank you for those of you who served at Fryathon this year or prayed for Phi-a-thon this year or donated money so we could scholarship some students to go. It was an incredible camp. The Holy Spirit was on the move in the students' lives. We baptized 12 students. We had many students rededicate their lives to Christ because they had slipped away. You know, one of the boys in my group said that, "I realize I need to make my faith my own, that it can't just be my parents' faith, that I need to start taking responsibility for my relationship with God." Just one example of one of the good things that happened, and it's because of you guys, your prayers, your donations, and your service at that camp. So thanks so much. Before we go, we're going to show a quick Father's Day video, and then we'll do the send-off.
Courage and kindness, strength and gentleness, fortitude and tenderness, a father, a leader and a lifelong teacher, a comforter and a patient listener, a hero and a world changer. A gift from God above. Being a father is a high and holy calling. It is not only a blessing, but also a stewardship. Fatherhood is a precious opportunity and a divine responsibility because it is one of the many ways that God watches over all of us. A father is a protector and a provider, a hard worker, and a family man, a role model, and a faithful friend. And so from all of us, to all of you, thank you to the fathers.
I'm thankful for our Heavenly Father, amen. He loved us and taught us the definition of love so that we could know how to love. Guys, good morning. My name is David Hart, worship leader here at KMCC. We're going to wrap up our time together. Would you guys stand, if you're able to, as we conclude our time? If you're a first-time guest with us, super glad you're here. Please, we've got a welcome booth at the end of the patio. We want to get to know you, meet you, and we've got a gift for you. If you're a second-time guest, welcome back. Thanks for giving us another shot. And spending your Sunday morning with us. There's also a gift for you back at that welcome booth, so please go and say hello. If you have any prayer needs this morning, just want to remind you, we've got a prayer team up front that would love to meet with you, pray for you, and walk alongside you with whatever your need is, so please come and utilize that. Dads, just a reminder, there is barbecue out there. Go get some protein. Glad you're here. Let's celebrate being a dad. And stick around, guys. We've got a wonderful patio. We've got some food, refreshments. Get to know each other. Enjoy the fellowship of this beautiful church. Love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.
KMCC. Hi, we're clear.
I'm Jen.
David.
Patrick.
Amelia.
Joey.
And Victoria.
This is 5 of my teenagers out of the 11 kids David and I have.
If you are our guest today, check out the new-to-KMCC tent on the patio to receive a $5 Starbucks gift card on us.
If it's your second time, we're glad to have you back. Make sure you pick up your $10 In-N-Out gift card at the tent, or if you're watching online, make sure to go to campcc.net/nextsteps to sign up.
If there's anything you need, please let us know. A Bible, have questions about KMCC, or today you decided to follow Jesus, head on over to the tent and let us celebrate with you. We're so glad you're here.
June 22nd, She Gathers Summer Bible Study, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Ladies, join us for 7 weeks on Monday nights as we start a study on prayer called When You Pray, as we study prayers in the Bible that can inspire your own. We'll meet in the video venue. Ages 13 and up are welcome. Register at camcc.net/women, or for more information, connect with Heather at camcc.net.
June 22nd, Family Laser Tag, 5 to 9 p.m. Join us at Extreme Laser Tag Simi Valley for pizza, drinks, and a night of laser tag. Bring the whole family. Space is limited, so reserve your spot today at camcc.net/events or connect with Lisa at camcc.net.
Sunday, July 12th. Next up's dessert, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. If you are newer to CamCC within the past 12 months, come and enjoy meeting the other pastors, elders, and other recent guests that have been checking us out. Sign up at camcc.net/dessert or connect with Abby at camcc.net for more details.
If you need prayer, we have our prayer team up front willing to pray for you at the conclusion of the gatherings. Again, we are so glad that you're here today.
Make sure you're following us on all our socials.
But to stay in the loop of what's going on, or for more info on any of these events, go to
camcc.net.